It's that time. Time for Pissed Off Politically Speaking. He is a national PR and campaign communications expert, editorial columnist, and former aide to three U.S. presidents. Here's your host, Scott Jones.
And a happy, happy Monday morning to you. It's that time again. Welcome to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio or the network at the 405 Radio. Never a dull moment. I was just telling my friends offline here that I hoped I remembered how to do this. I'm tan, rested, and ready, taking about half the summer off. You know, sometimes you just need a break from all the negativity, but I couldn't stay away long, and we're back with a fresh show. And what a better way to kick it off than one of my favorite people on this earth. She is the only one I've ever trusted to co-host this show. She has her own show on the 405 every Tuesday night, the Tammy Jackson Show. In addition to being the head poobah of Right Voice Media, Saving Our Future, Barbed Wire, the lovely Tammy Jackson from her broadcast bunker in Oregon. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, Scott, it's really an honor for you to ask me to be on as you're resuming your schedule and getting back into the fray. And I absolutely understand needing some time off. This is kind of a dirty sport in a way, and it wears on us. It really does. But we're doing it because we love it, and we want to try and help make sense of things and inform people. And so I'm just thrilled to be here. It's going to be a great show.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, and I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. You know, it's like I wrote in the piece I posted on my site when I took the break. You know, I've been doing this on air, first with terrestrial radio, and then at another online radio outfit, and then the bulk of it has been here on the 405. And you can just bitch about stuff so long before it actually starts getting to you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I said in that piece, Tammy, I thought things would get better after Trump was elected, and boy, was I wrong. So I just needed to step away a bit.
Right.
But I'm glad you're here, and we're going. Tammy and I, for those that are going to talk about the obvious topics of Trump in Poland and Trump at the G20, but the overall theme for the show, are we headed for a true crisis of confidence in the mainstream media and by extension the political environment here in the U.S. A lot of people would suggest right now it's like a dumpster fire. And Tammy and I are going to talk about those things. And then coming up in our B block, quite timely, our friend who is anchor of her own nationally syndicated Sunday talk show on the Sinclair Broadcast Network, Cheryl Akison, will be joining us. She's got a new book out called The Smear: How Shady Political Operatives, I'm going to take issue with her on that, and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How You Vote. So Tammy is going to be there along with me to talk to Cheryl about this new book, which is really timely, Tammy, for what's going on.
It sure is, because she's kind of giving us the inside scoop on what is practiced by much of the left, and some on the right too, so we need to expose it. She's got some great thoughts on this, what's happening with the smear, and of course we're seeing it played out every day in media and in new media. It'll be great to talk to her.
I don't know what you think about Cheryl. I will tell you, Tammy, and you've heard me say it before, I could count on one hand the national news media people that I trust, and it's a declining list. But Cheryl has always and never left my list of top journalists, national journalists in the country, because I really do believe she is a hard news journalist and a straight shooter in all things that she covers.
Yes, yes, and I agree with you. And in fact, one of the questions I want to ask her kind of touches on that, because we see a national mindset amongst journalists across this nation. Well, no wonder at universities across America, the schools of journalism are by and large run by people with a true leftist mindset, and they're ideologues, and they pass that out on. Whether you're in the School of Education or the School of Journalism, you're going to get that leftist worldview, and it's going to be indoctrinated, and you may not even realize it. So it may not be an explicit attempt to put forth this one-sided and absolutely highly selective news that we're getting every day, but it's still there. And the fact that she broke loose from the pack, and there are a few people here and there, but there are not many. And it may be implicit, it may be explicit, but they've got this worldview that definitely on the left, except for Cheryl, she's a little different.
Well, she's going to join us right after our mid-show break, so I hope everybody will hang around because it's always a great conversation. I want to move on to our A-block topics, Trump and Poland. Tammy, as you might expect, people like CNN and the Trump hater mainstream media either underreported the positive things and overemphasized what I thought were some bullshit trivial things. I felt like that the Poland part of his trip, and we'll take it Poland and then G20, the Poland part, if you looked at the crowds, the reception, the speech itself, I thought it was a pretty triumphant moment for Trump by any standard.
Absolutely so. And the first thing I started hearing from mainstream media was nitpicking about the size of the crowds. And my thought was, okay, do they not read his speech? Do they not go through the speech because it's out there? It's on the White House website, for heaven's sake. You can get it everywhere. Line by line, it was a tremendous speech. And I told you offline, but to me, this is evidence that President Donald Trump is listening to some fantastic people. He's getting it right, and he's listening to people such as Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Think of this man that's from Hungary. He knows that part of the world. He knows about the Cold War firsthand, what happened in that part of the world, and the tremendous impact that Poland, the Polish people, the Polish Pope have had on freedom and Western civilization. So this speech was fantastic. And once again, Scott, I hate to harp on things, but getting back to universities and education in the United States of America, what sector has been really, really neglected? Western civilization. It's pretty much been done away with, or it's been revised entirely so that it's a negative connotation, Western civilization. Trump took us back to those core values that the West has, and I thought it was magnificent.
Well, you know, and I'm getting kind of weary of making Reagan comparisons because everybody does it, including the left, when they're trying to curry favor with those in the middle. But I'm not going to say it was Reagan-esque, but it was on par with some of Reagan's better speeches in terms of content. And as you said, Tammy, there were people slamming the speech before he ever gave it. And, you know, my sense is that, and we're going to talk about CNN here in a little bit, but my sense is the American media is starting to filter and tune out. I mean, the American public is starting to tune out and really hard filter some of the mainstream media news reporting on it, that if Trump, you know, I've used the analogy, if he were to cure cancer, the story would be that he took too long to do it.
Yeah, that's about right. I'm trying to think. Oh, Newt Gingrich said that the viewpoint of most of people, most of the journalists across this nation, most of mainstream media, is they wake up every morning and say, "I know Donald Trump did something horrible. What was it?" And
right.
That's absolutely their mindset. But you know, you read something like my friend Paul Kinger from the Grove City College for Vision and Values, the Center for Vision and Values over there. He's a tremendous man. He knew Reagan. He wrote about Reagan. He had a great book. I've had him on about that. And he read this speech line by line, and he was pretty much a never-Trumper before the election. Since then, he's not so unhinged that he can't come around, and he has come around to absolutely support Trump, love the SCOTUS pick, etc. But he wrote about this in American Spectator, and I absolutely love this. He writes, it is important to understand that I came to the conclusion, and that was that Trump's speech was in Poland was outstanding. I came to that conclusion after reading every line of the speech unfiltered, without listening to a single reaction. I was tasked to analyze the speech by a Polish publication with an immediate turnaround deadline. I didn't consult anyone. I didn't gaze at the talking heads on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. Thus, when I later glimpsed the hysterical, warped, vicious rants by people on the left losing their minds over alleged Trump grunts about Western civilization, I shook my head in disgust. Especially appalling was the charge that Trump was blowing white nationalist dog whistles in Warsaw. The truth is, this was an excellent speech that Trump made in Poland, and that's because the speech was on Poland. It was about Poland. His whole article critiquing the Trump speech is pretty glowing, and he goes through why, and this is without any influence, as he said, from the rest of media. But this whole dog whistle thing drives me crazy, Scott.
Well, the leftist heads are exploding, and of course they do their obligatory media criticism. You know, I've even, believe it or not, I still tune over to CNN every once in a while just to see what's happening beyond the fact that they're imploding. And the reporter on the ground was doing her report, and it's like, and the anchor like overtly prompted her to say something negative about it because she was being fair and balanced. And it's like, but Trump, da 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 da. And then the correspondent on the ground in Poland or at the G20 burped back a negative thing almost in the words that the anchor fed her. I mean, it's just so fake and transparent. And what's making their heads explode is, you know, I call it the nationalist versus globalist message. That's not dog whistle for anything. What, since when is America First racist, xenophobic, homophobic, or anything like that? But he was over there with a bunch of globalists, and he took his nationalist message to the Polish people, which I would think would supremely resonate with them.
Right.
Okay. And what blows my mind is why this is such a surprise to the mainstream, lamestream media, because it's articulating what he campaigned on. The man does what he says.
Yeah, and they cannot. I've heard people in mainstream media, and this just makes me laugh. But they say, oh, please, he's just doing this to try and keep campaign promises. What? What? Isn't that a good thing? Don't you want somebody that promises something and actually keeps those promises? Pence keeps saying we're in the promise-keeping business, and I love
that. Yeah, he should be crucified for keeping his word.
Yeah, is this not crazy? Plus, okay, I love this. I really do, Scott, that number one, he's not going around the world apologizing for America and truly American values like Obama did. All the time, the great apology tours. I hated that. I cannot tell you how much I hated that. Now we've got Donald Trump, and he's going around the world, maybe sometimes a little bit clumsily, but he's making the case that we love America and we love American values, and America is going to come first. And then when he speaks someplace like Poland, he's talking about Poland and their values and the things they've done for their freedoms that are magnificent, and how they've triumphed in the face of tyranny and absolute war. It's just amazing. And so I love that he's doing that, that he's not trying to impose some phony globalism, climate theology, et cetera, on all these other nations. He's going there talking to them about being proud of their nation and their tremendous contributions to freedom of their people. And to me, that's perfect. That's spot on.
Well, you brought up, you don't know it, but you brought up a topic that just totally rubs me the wrong way completely about the coverage. You know, you mentioned a couple of times in your responses that he maybe does it clumsily. That's what drives me batshit is the mainstream media want to focus on style points and body language and wholly ignore the policy and substance of what goes on there, it does a disservice not only to him and his coverage, it does a disservice to the rest of us. And we're going to get in a little bit, a couple of examples of that in our next segment here. But is it just me? The whole deal of, well, he held his mouth wrong, or somebody didn't shake it, somebody's hand right, or his tie was crooked and maybe he had a bad night and is detached from his staff. I mean, people in America don't care. And it's like these, and I think even Fox is guilty of this. They hone in on these innocuous, silly threads of what should be a major policy thing and talk about dress colors and crap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gotten to be so extreme. I can't, like the rants that you've heard and I've heard on MSNBC that he's hideous to look at, things like this. Oh my goodness.
Some of that's just over the line, if you ask me, but that Donnie Deutsch or whatever his name is,
needs
to see a professional help.
Yeah, or be sent some kind of jacket that's all white. I think that it's just become unhinged, and all they can do is rag on this kind of stuff. It's ridiculous. It really is, because I could go on and on about previous administrations and who looked awful and who did awful things. And Mr. Himself, the former POTUS, who if you took any one of his speeches, like a good friend of mine did, and he edited a speech of Obama's at one point, one speech, all the ums, and made it into a soundbite, something like 200 ums in one single speech. It was not a bunch of speeches. It was one single speech. Now, mainstream media does not look at something like that. They don't look at other body language. It's just Donald Trump. So what it reminds me of, Scott, is Inspector Dreyfus and in the Pink Panther movies, where everything Clouseau does drives him crazy and his eyes start to twitch. This is mainstream media. They are one collective Inspector Dreyfus that everything Trump does makes them twitch and come unglued. And that's all they can do is focus on that and spew this hatred. They're not even looking at his words. They're not listening to those words. Nothing.
That's my point. That's my point. But I want to move on to the G20 real quick, Tammy. But I will tell you, I thought the response of the Polish people was underreported and was tremendous. And I do think it was probably one of the best speeches of his presidency. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yes, it was a grown-up speech. It was a tremendous speech of import. And
it just wasn't the right speech for the leftist progressives.
Nothing he says will be right for the leftist progressives.
Well, yeah. You know, you've got that high-end reporting of Anderson Cooper that took a crap on his desk. We would praise it.
Yeah. Or Mika and Joe, and perhaps,
oh, don't even get me started.
Yeah, Joe and his newfound music fame. He'll write another edgy song and record it. He and Mika.
That was just creepy.
It was very creepy. It was ridiculous. I'm like, okay, but I don't know if it was on CNN or something. It was supposed to be laughable. That'd be one thing, but it's ridiculous.
Well, he showed up at the G20, Tammy, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. I think I went to all three of the major cable news outlets, and every one of them had a body language expert on there. I mean, seriously. And again, I'm including Fox in this, okay?
Yes.
It's like even Fox can become insular, because you've got a table of people that live in the bubble, work in the bubble, and I'm talking about inside the Beltway, and they talk to each other about things that I don't think mean a damn or the American people give a damn about on this kind of stuff. You know, what dress was Melania wearing, and who shook whose hand first, and
Putin's arms. Two scoops of ice cream.
Yeah, that's CNN low standard there. I wouldn't put Fox in that category, but I'm just saying it's the focus.
Yeah.
The focus of the trivial I wish they could step out in middle America where you and I are and just look at themselves, Fox included, as to what they decide to talk about. Now, Fox does a better job of putting in more policy, but I'm just saying some of the coverage I saw during this short period he was at the G20 was borderline ridiculous.
And we knew it was going to be. I knew it was going to be because we knew that unlike Obama, who gets there and what does he want to talk about? He wants to talk about things like climate change or climate whatever it's called this week.
Color of the drapes.
Yeah, it's the leading threat to humanity on the planet, that everybody should have abortion and that any kind of marriage configuration should be accepted. And if not, the U.S. will pull funding or something. Obama went around the globe and tried to impose his extreme leftist progressive slash socialist agenda on the world, and the mainstream media praised him for it. The extreme environmentalists around the globe praised him for it. Everybody else was stunned. If you hear from normal people in America, normal people around the globe that love their country and maybe just don't love abortion or something else that Obama was high on, they thought, what is he doing lecturing us about our values in our country? Well, Trump went to the G20. I knew what he was going to talk about. And I have to say, I knew that all the buzz would be about him meeting Putin. And in my mind, I'm laughing, thinking, okay, Putin is not going to be meeting someone that's some effete, you know, limp-wristed, progressive, apologizing for our nation and kowtowing. He's going to be meeting a guy that is a real man, that has a spine, I think he's solidifying a very good conservative worldview, and he's been trending right for a couple decades now, and things have really been solidifying. All along, his true north was just his love of country and believing that capitalism was a good system. But so now he's gotten into actual policy and foreign policy, and as being schooled by really, really good minds, thoughtful people, he's listening, and he's...
Well, all these sycophants, Tammy, are beating their chest about Russian collusion between Trump.
It's ridiculous.
It wasn't Trump that leaned over and said, this is my last election, and I'll have more flexibility after it's over.
Exactly. Okay, let's go back.
Nobody talks about that.
Yeah, let's rewind here and talk about who was Mr. Flexibility. Well, I loved Gumby, but our POTUS Gumby was Obama. It was not Trump. And for all the detractors, et cetera, like you said, if you go to middle America, they love the fact that there's somebody in there that has a working class mindset, that has some common sense, that loves this country and understands keeping us safe and doing the best thing for our country and will fight for it and doesn't care what they say. So I think the average person across in flyover country loves this.
Well, I just thought some of the media coverage got ridiculous. I don't know if you saw, I think the guy's name, he's a CNN person on the ground there, Scott Salizzi. He tweeted out this tweet that looked like some junior high girl that was, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like 8 times with no spaces and all caps. Did you see that?
I heard about it, and I just shook my head. These people, you have 140 characters to try and say something substantive, and that's what he says?
Well, I think it was about the handshake thing between the president and first lady of Poland. But I saw a Twitter comeback that was hilarious. You know, he's got, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, in all caps. Uh-huh. Somebody tweeted back, oh, look, CNN is even faking orgasms now. I thought that was just classic.
That is classic. That's kind of Harry Met Sally saga stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, so, you know, and everybody says that, you know, the talking heads, of course, the liberal progressive talking heads were saying what an abject disaster the G20 summit was for Trump. Is it every day, Tammy, that you go to something like that and a Syrian ceasefire agreement with the Russians comes out of it? Sorry, I'm burping coffee here, but I mean, seriously, if that had been Obama, they would be nominating him for another Nobel Peace Prize over that ceasefire, and it totally gets buried by this other bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what they do. When they cannot critique the substantive accomplishments of a G20 or whatever else Trump is doing.
But that's huge, Tammy. A ceasefire in Syria saving lives? You'd think that would be newsworthy.
It is huge, but it doesn't matter. What is newsworthy to mainstream media does not matter, because what they are all about is bringing down Donald Trump. They hate Donald Trump with a white hot hatred, and that is how they frame the news each and every time.
Well, the detractors are saying that Putin bested Trump, but they never say how or on what metrics. I do not sense that Putin bested Trump on anything. I think it was probably a pretty good, at least initial dialogue, face-to-face dialogue between the two. Despite reports to the contrary, Trump pressed Putin on the election meddling. He's just not willing to start World War III over it.
Yeah, yeah. And it is kind of interesting, because you see, okay, these guys are going to meet, excuse me, after all the hullabaloo. And you know that Putin is a longtime KGB thug. He's been in the world of politics and political moves for his entire life, pretty much. So here he is meeting Donald Trump, who is an absolute neophyte in the foreign policy department. And I thought Trump did very well. And I was thrilled to think, oh, okay, so he's meeting a former KGB thug. He's probably had to do some business and push against some thugs in New York City and other places with building contracts. And we know that he's got tough, tough alligator skin. And I like that idea. I like that.
Well, I just don't think it's as advertised that Putin bested Trump in any way. And then they moved on to hacking on Ivanka for her being his designee, sitting in on a plenary meeting about, I think it was health issues in North Africa, and they about have a meltdown. Do you think if Michel was sitting in for President Prince that they would be having a meltdown?
Oh, no, not in the least, which is funny, because at one point they criticize Trump because they don't like to look at him. And then we've got someone like Ivanka or Melania to look at, and then they change the subject. So it's about looks. No, it's not about looks. It's about, you know, substance. Oh, wait a minute. If Michelle was there, nobody would care. That would be wonderful. She could break dance in the meeting, and it would be wonderful. That's
and
just
boy,
the way
she
it
ought
is.
To run for president in the future. And love, 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 love.
Yes, yes. She can make all kids start eating twigs and veggies, and that's a good thing. Melania can do things for children, really, really helping children. Nobody says anything. She speaks with an accent. They criticize her. Never mind that she speaks fluently multiple languages. Really, there's a lot to that woman. Michelle, what there was a lot to her. Remember, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Yep, yep.
And Melania is a grateful immigrant that came here legally. Man, deal with it.
Well, my take was the G20 for Trump wasn't perfect, but it was pretty damn good. And I do think that he represented us well there.
I think he did as well. And I was very, very pleased. And I know, and you know, Scott, that his whole deal with making promises, make America great again, put America first. That's what he's trying to do wherever he goes. He's trying to put America first, and he's listening to some really great people. I have to say it again. Dr. Sebastian Gorka is phenomenal, and he's one of his chief foreign policy advisors, and I love that.
You bet, you bet. Well, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes before we have to take our break and get Cheryl on the line. You and I haven't talked about this. Do you think CNN is in full meltdown mode, or is it just temporary?
I don't know that it is temporary. Now, for a long time, I've thought that the only reason they get any kind of market shares is because they've imposed themselves and they are the one and only. It's as if you're in Europe, but they are what you see at airports all over the nation or all over North America, and certainly some in Europe as well. So how you get everybody else to listen to them, people are beginning to understand they are becoming unmasked as we see the, you know, the absolute positive forthright bias of that station, that's what it is. It is not news. They do op-ed
stuff. Yeah, and Tammy, you almost expect that, and it's become more overt, almost as bad as MSNBC.
Yes.
But, I mean, they've made some major cock-ups in terms of provably wrong, either fake or misleading or erroneous stories that would be, I mean, appalling just 10 years ago to any news organization, and they just kind of go, whoops, sorry, and keep moving on. But I saw, and I don't know if you saw the article on this, the latest ratings came out. Nick at Night and reruns of Yogi Bear are beating their primetime lineup.
Which I've seen some of those, and it thrills me to no end, because for a long, long time, I've asked people, why do you listen to this? And what's interesting is I haven't traveled a lot in Europe in the CNN years and era, but my friends that have tell me that CNN Europe is worse than CNN here in the United States, that it is absolutely positively against America, pro-socialism. It loved Obama, but everything it says in Europe, you would think America was an evil nation. So they have kind of done their job here and abroad to try and bring down American values, I believe. And I think that their ratings are starting to reflect that people are starting to wake up. I would like to get a gigantic national wake up to just ditch that station.
Well, I'm just going to close with the thought that, or the question, are the entrenched DC special interest and corrupt media on a collision course with we the people? Because, I mean, it's getting worse, as I said earlier, Tammy, not better. And I think we could ask Cheryl about some of that.
Oh, absolutely. She's the right gal to have on when we're talking about mainstream media, journalism in America, smears, Trump obsession, etc.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, Tam, and we're going to go pay some bills. And, folks, when we come back, we're going to have Full Measure anchor on the Sinclair Broadcast Network, Cheryl Akison, join us, talking about her new book, The Smear, How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How You Vote. So stay with us. Tammy and I'll be back with Cheryl here in just a minute. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.
405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000 or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
I know.
like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
And welcome back to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio or the network at the 405 Radio. Along with me today, my illustrious co-host, clear-cutting liberal memes from the Northwest, Miss Tammy Jackson. And Tammy, you know, I am such a rabid fan of my next guest. I'm surprised she hadn't filed a personal restraining order on me. I have followed her for decades. She knows I'm very fond of her. She has her own show nationally syndicated on the Sinclair Broadcast Network, and she is committing acts of real journalism every Sunday on Full Measure with Cheryl Akison. She's out with a new book, her follow-up book to Stonewalled. It's called The Smear, How Shady Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How You Vote. From our nation's capital, Cheryl Akison, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan. You know, if you file this restraining order, it'd be only fair that you let me know, okay?
Oh, you silly. I enjoy the dialogue with you. Thank you.
Well, I consider you a friend, and you're somebody I admire immensely, and you know I've been rabid about this book coming out. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't get my copy until Friday. I looked last night, by the way, and it's still a bestseller on Amazon, and then probably headed to be a New York Times bestseller, Cheryl. I want to give you maybe a couple minutes open.
We did get on the New York Times bestseller list on Friday, the debut week. So really excited about that.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, I want you to know I paid for my book because I want to support the cause. Because I think the message that you're putting out there is important. And so I wanted to give you a couple of minutes to maybe answer the obvious question to people who would read the book. If you were to want them to take away maybe three things from the book, what would those top three things be?
That when you see common themes emerge on social media and the news, out of thousands of news stories that could legitimately be covered on a given day, the same two or three are covered over and over, the same people are being quoted, the same phrases are being used, you should ask yourself whether someone is promulgating a narrative. And number two, not only ask whether what you're seeing is true or the whole truth, but ask who wants you to think that and why, and what are they trying to keep you from seeing? In other words, when the airway is being crowded and the internet space is being crowded with one story, other stories and narratives are being kept off. So that's a dual purpose for the narratives. And thirdly, I think trust your cognitive dissonance. And by that, I mean, when you're subjected to these narratives, and sometimes they take the form of smears in ways you don't know, with fake Twitter accounts and quasi-news media passing around articles and so on, when they say things like, everybody knows, or everybody thinks, and they're trying to use that bandwagon appeal, but you don't think so, trust your cognitive dissonance. Someone may be trying to convince you of something that's not true. For, against an idea or a person, and make you feel like you're an outlier if you don't agree, when you may in fact not be. But that's the strategy.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm not going to betray any confidences here. Cheryl and I spent some time in person together in relation to her appearance on a television show that was being taped here in Texas. And I do remember you telling me, this is before you started Full Measure and right after you left CBS News, that the media landscape has changed, that nobody is wanting to do real deep journalism anymore. But to me, it even goes beyond that. Even, I guess that was, what, a couple of years ago? It's like people lie to each other with impunity, and the news media now, the standard, Cheryl, are almost non-existent. And I come from a time, and maybe I was one of those shady political operatives, but I worked for Ronald Reagan and George Bush when he was governor here in Texas, and I had a healthy respect for the news and lived in fear that I would give wrong information to the media. You know, there was integrity on both sides. You had the Society of Professional Journalists and some sort of code of ethics, and even those that practice on the other side would not overtly lie to the media. Now, Cheryl, it just seems like that's commonplace. It's like everybody knows everybody's lying to each other.
And except maybe the public, although they may have some sense of it. And I think that's the result, as I trace and smear, of this industry that's grown. It's not just the industry of political operatives and PR people doing their job. It's more the takeover of those controlling narratives, trying to bully and squelch and controversialize those who threaten their ideas and their donors, and also doing it in a way that masks the financial and political interests behind it. So a lot of times the smear will be accomplished by amplifying maybe something true somebody did that they're trying to controversialize or silence. So they'll take a little thing and they will amplify it far beyond what it deserves in a neutral environment and mask the fact that the financial and political interest behind this effort is somebody that the public would want to know about but doesn't. And sometimes the media knows and doesn't report it. Sometimes the media doesn't bother to ask the question as to who's directing the narrative or why they're getting, you know, these stories planted with them or in their inboxes or promulgated by the pundits.
Tammy, I wanted to have you get in and ask Cheryl a question.
Oh, you bet. I'm excited to do so. Cheryl, I was raised by a father. People that listen to me know this. I talk about it all the time. But he taught me critical thinking and that every prof, every boss, etc., would have a worldview that either knowingly or not would be filtering their suppositions through that worldview. I've known for years that video on news is selectively edited. You can't interview someone for a half hour and then have a minute and a half clip and not have it be selected. Yet, in the last few years, there have been some undercover videos, and I'm not going to name them because there's a lot of them that have been out there, but the defense was that these are highly selective videos. Now, that is what happens in news. They have to be selective. How can we educate people, Cheryl, to be more discerning about this and to understand that all of them are and try to get the background?
You know, when you mentioned the selected edits and so on, it was interesting because for a time at CBS, we had sort of a policy that we didn't use material given to us by somebody else, like an operative, that had been edited, that we couldn't verify independently or see in its whole and so on. And I was traveling, was I still working at CBS? I think I was on assignment for them on the West Coast when the story broke about Mitt Romney saying the X percent, the controversy over what he said when he was surreptitiously videotaped at a donor event. And the evening news led with that, and it was just front and center day after day after day after day on all the news. First of all, I didn't think it was as outrageous as other people did, especially when it was seen in greater context. But second of all, I remember thinking, I thought that was against our standards to accept a tape from somebody who clearly had political interests that had been recorded secretly, that we didn't have in its entirety, that we couldn't prove hadn't been edited. And yet now, when tapes on the other side appear, the media cries, "It's been edited! It's been edited! We can't verify it!" I mean, it's just that disparate application of standards, depending on who they're looking at, that betrays the political or financial interest behind and motivations behind those doing the criticizing.
Yes,
and I say that just take the word of one of the smear artists I interviewed for the book. He said something like, "No image that you encounter in your daily life, whether it's on the news or the internet or something comedians joke about on late night TV, happens by accident. He said, it's like a movie. Everything is put there before you for a reason to try to make you think a certain way, often by people who've paid a lot of money to make you think it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's right. It's marketing 101, but now applied to journalism. I'm thinking, this is kind of a two-parter. What is the remedy or the beginning of a remedy to restore some confidence and balance in the business of journalism? And Cheryl, how in the world is it that you yourself escaped that total one-sided ideology systemic that we see in broadcast journalism?
I've always been sort of a extremely independent thinker, not a group thinker, and not a joiner. So I tend to, by nature, look at the opposing view, regardless of what it is. You know, if we in the news are constantly reporting one line, it makes me want to look at the other line and see if we're missing something. That's just how I always am. And also, I don't care what my colleagues think clearly. So I'm not out to try to prove something to them or please them. I'm out, and quite frankly, a lot of them agree with me, by the way. They can't come out and say it, or maybe they don't have the freedom to quit their job the way I did, but a lot of them agree. But those who don't, that want to bully and silence and marginalize, doesn't matter to me. I'm not there for them. I'm there to try to bring some facts to the public. That's how I see my job, keep what I think is my integrity so that I can enjoy what I do and feel like I'm doing something meaningful. So that's all I can say. I also think the freedom I had to leave CBS after I'd been there for many, many years and to kind of, you know, throw those checks out the window and say, I'm just not going to do it. Not everybody has that freedom, quite frankly. They have families that they still have to save for college for. And I'm at a point in my life where I paid for my kids' college and I could walk away from that kind of stuff without worrying too much. So I think that's part of it, really. For those who don't want to report or don't like what they see, they have to keep a job.
Well, that first part of your answer, I was sitting here grinning like the village idiot, because that really articulated, and I'm not buttering you up here, Cheryl. I mean, you and I had a relationship online and otherwise for a long time, but that is why you were on that list of three or four that I trust in the mainstream media, and I'm so thankful that you have kept that as your guiding light as you've launched Full Measure and all of that. But I want to press a little bit further on what Tammy asked. I mean, you're the exception, not the rule nowadays. Is there a way back to credibility? And I know this is a long-winded run-up, but and I'm not putting you on the spot, but is what is happening at CNN, let's say what's truth is divided by two, I mean, it seems like they've thrown their standard book out the window with some of the recent deals. Is there a pathway back to credibility for the media, or is it all going to be about marketing and ratings? And we as the public, consuming public, which your book is a warning to us, are we going to be the recipient of this kind of news coverage in perpetuity?
Well, I think it's a mistake to think this is largely about ratings. There may be a ratings benefit to some of it that happens, but I think this is done because we've allowed operatives to infiltrate our newsrooms, and we've listened to them, and we don't critically ask questions, and we've hired them as editorial presences. They're not doing it, you know, first and foremost for ratings. They're doing it sometimes contrary to ratings, because I think a lot of people would tune in for just factual reporting. And I don't know how you get back quickly. I sure hope we do, but I'm sorry, I'm pessimistic. It's taken years for this industry of smear artists and PR people and propagandists to figure out how to get their nose under the tent so completely in newsrooms and online and news and quasi-news outlets, and how to make us cover what they want us to cover and how to silence narratives they don't like. I don't think you can dial that back overnight. Too many people are working in our newsrooms. Too many standards have changed, as you say. I mean, we publicly have exempted ourselves in some cases from normal journalism standards because we've declared this president to be so dangerous. I mean, can you imagine suspending your journalism standards of the past because you think editorially or some people at your organization have declared a, you know, political person to be so uniquely dangerous? And that's what we get when we suspend our standards. We have misreporting and false reporting and bias creeping into what used to be straight news, and so on.
Well, I just can't believe Time Warner would let Zucker run the place into the ground over Donald Trump. But, you know, I could be wrong. I just was curious your take. Is the CNN situation the dumpster fire we perceive it to be? Or, you know, just kind of what is your thoughts as an outsider looking in? And I'm not asking you to bash them. I'm just wondering, does it bother you the string of cock-ups that have happened there that seem to, like, apply no standard at all?
Well, I worked there from 90 to 93 in a different time when we wouldn't have ever put overtly, you know, biased information on the news programs. We had Crossfire where they debated things, and we had Larry King Live, but the news programs, we were very careful as best we could to be just the facts. Clearly, they have a different business model now, and I don't think, I haven't watched them in years. I only see excerpts as they go around online, so I really can't comment at large, but what they have done doesn't seem so different to me than what the Washington Post, the New York Times, and other outlets have done with their horrible, horrible mistakes that wouldn't be allowed in journalism college and yet are not only happening with impunity but seem to be rewarded, as some of those reporters who make these rookie mistakes are promoted or excused. I mean, it's just, it's happening sort of across the board at many formerly well-respected news organizations.
Tammy Jackson, final question for Ms. Atkinson.
Yeah, this is kind of wonky, but I talk a lot about education in America and the fact that in our universities across the nation, colleges and universities, that in some departments, because, and this is talking, my father was a professor at Syracuse for a bit. I have two brothers that have been well-known professors, and so we talk about this kind of stuff. I happen to know that the College of Journalism at many universities across the nation tends to have a monolithic worldview. What would your advice be to parents who have a kid, and maybe these are parents that might kind of disagree with CNN, but they have a kid that wants to go into journalism. How do you prepare them for something like that?
I don't think you can, and I have a lot of young people ask me similar questions. Quite frankly, if they try to get into the business and they don't operate the way the bosses want them to, they'll never get the second job. You know, it's easy to say stand up and do what's right, but how do you do that within the constraints of all they want are clicks, or maybe they're directing you to report things that aren't true or that you don't believe, you know, are fair. I think it's a very tough time to be trying to get into journalism, but I do counsel people. There are ways to operate, and I always try to do this, even when faced with difficult situations where you don't have to trade your ethics. There are ways to object to something without being so in your face that you get fired, but you also end up doing the right thing. And again, it's hard to advise someone who's getting into the business today how to do that, because I think it's, the landscape is so different and so precarious.
Well, I read the introduction to your book on Friday, and I was simultaneously intrigued and disturbed at the same time. But what Cheryl promises in the smear is that she's going to run you through the competing interests that are kind of running today's news cycles. And God love you for it, Cheryl, because we need it. You know, I was depressed from the standpoint that, is there any way out? I mean, beyond you and the few people I trust, I just, as somebody who's been a practitioner on both sides of the ledger book in journalism over the years, and I guess I'm just showing my age, Cheryl, it can get depressing that there's just no standard. And I think your book is going to crack the code on that for a lot of people.
Well, I hope people find it at least informative in a way that they can start asking the right questions, even if we don't always have all the answers, that keep them from going down the road of, you know, these narratives and thinking that everybody thinks a certain way when that's simply not the case, and that others are trying to bully them into feeling a certain way or not speaking about how they really feel.
Well, the book is available everywhere. Ever since Cheryl announced it, we've had a link to the Amazon site on our show homepage at popsradioshow.com, right on the homepage. And Amazon, it's a bestseller. It's moving up at Barnes & Noble. And Cheryl just updated us. She's made the New York Times bestseller list. The Smear: How Shady Political Operatives and Fake News Control What You See, What You Think, and How You Vote. It is always a privilege and a pleasure to talk to you. And we're going to be talking about the book in the coming weeks, and we're going to do what we can to support it, Cheryl, because we think it's important.
Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that.
Tammy, say goodbye to Cheryl.
Cheryl, it's been so fun speaking to you, and I hope I get another opportunity to do just this.
Thank you, Tammy. Take care.
You too.
All right, Cheryl, thank you so much. There you go, folks. Cheryl Akison, anchor Full Measure on the Sinclair Broadcast Network every Sunday. I think she's in like 43 major markets. You can go to fullmeasure.news and find out. I mean, she's doing some great in-depth reporting, you know, some, I guess, ABC 2020, 60 Minutes type in-depth reporting. And it's not all politics all the time. She's covered immunizations and border security and some real in-depth reporting like you used to get on mainstream media news magazines. What'd you think, Tammy?
Oh, well, she's wonderful. She's so gracious. And I love that she is an independent woman. She's obviously very, very intelligent, and she's discerning, and she's thinking for herself. And that's fantastic. That's what you want people to do, is think for themselves and cut through all this nonsense.
Yeah, I appreciated your questions along that line. You know, last time she was on, you weren't with me, but I always talk about I could count on one hand the journalists I trust. And I told her that one had dropped off. She made me name all of them.
Wow.
She put me on the spot, and obviously it's her. In my world, it's her, Brett Baer, Britt Hume, mm-hmm. and Jake Tapper used to be on there, and I told her he had dropped off.
Yeah.
And I was honest about it.
Yep, I've been disappointed in Tapper.
Well, you know, he's been on the show five times in the last 2 years, and when the 2016... after I guess it was after the convention when he went all Kool-Aid drinker on Trump, I haven't invited him back, and that's on purpose. So,
yeah.
But Cheryl, for our listeners, I trust Tammy, you're on that list, and John's on that list. But, you know, my point is, and I liked your question about, is there a pathway out? Because if you read the introduction, I'm going to try to snag you a copy of the book, Tammy, and send it up to you.
Oh, I'd love it.
I bought mine from Amazon because I wanted to support her, and I wanted to get a little bit of an advance read on it. But it could depress you, you know. But I think once we read the whole book, we're going to know what we're looking at from a different lens, I guess is what I'm trying to get to. And it might be helpful to what you and I do for a living here.
Yes. You know, in 2012, I wrote these Twitter tutorials that went viral. And the interesting thing is, because I had to think about this, why I wanted people to get involved in Twitter. And I said, here's the thing. We have been led to believe, those of us that are conservatives, that love this country, that espouse conservative values, that we are just one person isolated in a community somewhere in this nation, and everybody else in America thinks we're idiots. That's what we've been led to believe if we look at mainstream media. But when you start getting involved in social media, even something as innocuous sometimes as Twitter, what happens is you see, wait a minute. A little person like me, I've got 27,000 followers, 98% of whom are good, staunch conservatives, love the military, love America, etc. You start seeing people like this giving out comments like, I love this. I love that SCOTUS did this decision. This is a great speech. This is, it resonates. And suddenly you realize, wait a minute. It's not just me. There are millions of Americans who feel like I do, but we've been led to believe by the stylized videos and so forth on news, mainstream news, that we're in the minority, and we are not.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Well, Tammy, unfortunately, we're out of time. It always flies by. I really am glad you were here to talk to Cheryl, and I very much personally appreciate you getting up early and helping me drive the bus today. I always 100% enjoy it.
Well, thanks. It was great to be on the show with you. What an honor to speak to Cheryl. She's really a nice gal, and I use the term gal all the time, so nobody give me static about that.
Don't explain political correctness. We know where your heart is here.
Yes.
All right, folks. The book's The Smear. by Cheryl Atkinson. Get it everywhere. Tammy Jackson, thank you for joining me today. We'll be back next Monday with a whole new show. Keep it tuned throughout the day for the best conservative programming anywhere. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.